LifeTurners.com podcast. The goal of these podcasts is to strengthen you and to equip you to have a normal Christian life and a normal church life, that you might be one whom God can use to turn this age. My name is Ricky Acosta, and today we will continue our fellowship in the line that we call Flee and Pursue. We want to see more concerning the matter of the inward parts and the hidden parts, the exercise of our heart and our spirit in God's economy. And today we'd like to specifically see something about the function of the inward and hidden parts. Last time we sort of defined what are the inward and hidden parts, and we saw the parts of the soul, the parts of the spirit, and the parts of the heart. What kind of vessel it is that the Lord made us. He made us with all these inward parts so that we could know Him, so that we could contact Him, receive Him, and be filled with Him. But we must know what are the functions of these inward parts so that all of this fellowship can be so practical to us and applicable in our daily life. So I'd like to begin this fellowship with the matter of the heart. What is the function of the heart? The heart is the loving organ. In the book, The Economy of God by Brother Witness Lee, in chapter 7, it says, all spiritual experiences start with love in the heart. If we do not love the Lord, it is impossible to receive any kind of spiritual experience. In fact, the first experience of our Christian life, salvation, involves the heart loving the Lord Jesus. Not one person who really repents is without love in his heart toward the Lord. Perhaps they do not have the language to express it, but they have the sweet sense of love within. They do not have the knowledge, but their initial experience of salvation is a reaction or a reflection of love in their heart to the Lord. Is this your experience? I know it's mine. When I first heard the gospel presented to me, even as a little boy, my heart responded to the love of the Lord to just love Him back. Every spiritual experience begins with love in our heart. So you see, brothers and sisters, the exercise of our heart is critical in our experience of the Lord and our experience of God's economy. Why is it that sometimes we just seem not to have any interest in the things of the Lord? Even we may have consecrated ourselves to the Lord sometime before, even recently, but after some time, it seems like the interest, the desire wanes. Oh, it has a lot to do with the exercise of our heart. And we'd like to see a few principles of how we can exercise our heart. In this same publication, The Economy of God, in this chapter, we have Brother Lee fellowships certain points with us that I'd like to pass on to you. And they are these four. How do we exercise our heart? Our heart must first be turned to the Lord. We have to turn our heart. Secondly, we have to exercise faith. Thirdly, our heart must be sprinkled from an evil conscience. And fourthly, our heart must be renewed. But we begin with the matter of turning our heart to the Lord. Everything starts here. 2 Corinthians 3:16. But whenever it turns to the Lord, referring to our heart, whenever our heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Oh, brothers and sisters, I hope you would spend some time to enjoy this verse, to pray over this verse, to breathe this verse. Even, in a sense, every day, I hope we can pray this verse. Lord, I turn my heart to You. This is one of the whenevers. Right now, Lord, I turn my heart to You. when you promise that whenever I turn my heart, the veil is taken away. Brothers and sisters, everything starts with turning our heart to the Lord. It doesn't start with just opening the Bible. It doesn't start with going to a meeting. It starts with turning our heart to the Lord. Even in our daily living, even in the most difficult situation, even when there's nothing going on and we might have a kind of even boring day, a day with nothing going on, in the midst of everything, we should turn our heart to the Lord. Whenever our heart turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. This turning is not once for all. We need to turn back to the Lord all the time, day by day, even throughout the day. We need to continually turn our heart back to the Lord. Every morning, we should turn our heart back to the Lord. I would encourage you, the first thing when you rise up, the first thing when you open your eyes, is to say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I turn to you. Lord, grant me your grace. Grant me your mercy and your grace that I might turn my heart to you. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is a good way to start our day, to turn our heart to the Lord. Why is it that sometimes we pray, we do pray, even earnestly, to know the Lord's will? I know that many of the high school seniors, even college seniors, when they're approaching graduation and are starting to pray for the future, to pray what the Lord's will is for what school to go to, or whether to go to the full-time training or to work, they pray maybe more than they've ever prayed in their whole lives. But sometimes it seems that the more we pray, the more uncertain we are, the more in darkness we are. We have to check. We have to check. Did we really turn our heart to the Lord? The first thing is to turn our heart to the Lord, not to pray for things, not to focus on outward things or even decisions, but to turn our heart to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, everything starts here. We have to turn our heart to the Lord. Then we have to exercise faith. We have to believe. You know, our heart is our believing organ. In Romans 10, it says, with the heart, man believes. But we may find, if we're honest, that we often have an evil heart of unbelief, as it says in Hebrews. Oh, we need to have a believing heart. And we need to believe all the Lord's words, all the Lord's promises in His Word. In His Word, it tells us that all things work together for good to those who love God. In His Word, it tells us that He is with us all the time. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and also Matthew 28, verse 20. His heart is good toward us, and He is with us all the time. Sometimes when we're praying, we have an unbelieving heart, and we feel that the Lord will not bless us. The Lord's heart is not good toward us. Sometimes we may even think that the Lord has preferences of others over us. Oh, brothers and sisters, that is having an evil heart of unbelief. We need to turn our heart, and then we need to exercise faith, believing in His Word and in His heart toward us. And thirdly, we need to have our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. We need to confess our sins so that our conscience can be clear, that we could have good fellowship with the Lord. So we need to exercise that when the Lord shines in our conscience on any sin, even the smallest sin, we would not make excuses. We would just confess. We would not consider, oh, I did this because he said that or she did that. No, we should just forget about everyone and we should confess our sins. If we confess our sins, actually, it'll be easier for us to have a believing heart. So, brothers and sisters, we need to turn our heart, we need to exercise faith, and we need to confess our sins. We need to have our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. Actually, if we do this spontaneously, we will have a renewed heart. That's the fourth point. So we need to turn our heart. We need to have a heart of faith. We have to exercise faith. We have to have our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience by confessing our sins. This is the way our heart can be renewed. These are the ways that we exercise our heart. Brothers and sisters, to have a loving heart, to have a loving heart, we must exercise our heart in this way. And we have to realize everything begins with love in our heart. Every experience of the Lord begins with love in our heart. If we find that we just don't have the heart to pursue, if we don't have the strength to pursue, we need to come back and just turn our heart back to the Lord and exercise to turn our heart back. He will take the veil away. We need to believe his word, believe his promise. If he shines, we confess our sins. And this will help us to have a renewed heart with renewed longings for the Lord. Then secondly, our spirit. Our spirit is the receiving organ. Surely we know that when we exercise our spirit, we can enjoy the flow of life. But I would say, brothers and sisters, the order here is very important. We have to exercise our heart in conjunction with the exercise of our spirit. Why is it that in the past, many times we called on the Lord, maybe we even shouted in the meeting, and calling on the Lord and praising the Lord, but we sense very little flow of the Lord in our spirit. The reason is maybe we didn't start with our heart. We didn't fully turn our heart. We didn't have a heart of faith. We didn't confess our sins. And therefore, our heart is not renewed. Actually, it's an oldness. No wonder that we tried to exercise our spirit and there was not much profit. Oh, brothers and sisters, I'm so burdened that we would see that we need to exercise our heart and our spirit. Even that's why we gave the title to this series of lessons, The Exercise of the Heart and of the Spirit in God's Economy. It's not just the exercise of our spirit. We have to take care of our heart. If we have problems in our heart, it will surely affect our contact with the Lord in the Spirit. And then finally, we have our soul. We have our heart, our spirit, and our soul. What is the function of the soul? The function of the soul is the reflecting organ. It's how we can express God. And this brings us back to Genesis 1. He made us in his image, and so that we might express him. He wants his mind to be expressed through our mind. He wants his will to be expressed through our will, through our choices. He wants his emotion to be expressed through our emotion in the things that we love and even in the things that we hate and stand against. And how do we exercise our soul? We exercise our soul, firstly, by denying the soul life. Many things in our soul life we have to deny. We have to stand against our soul life. Now, in the New Testament, it talks about the salvation of our soul. Our soul needs to be saved. Our spirit is already saved, but our soul needs to be saved. And how can it be saved? Firstly, by denying the soul life. That denying those tendencies that are absolutely against the proper Christian life, even the proper human life. The tendency toward laziness, the tendency toward rebellion, the tendency toward procrastination. We have to deny all these things by the exercise of our spirit. Secondly, our soul must be purified, and this is through the Word of God. So we deny our soul, but we also need our soul to be purified by the word of God. This is found in 1 Peter 1:22. We need our souls purified. Then finally, we need our soul transformed, as in 2 Corinthians 3:18 and Romans 12:2. We need our soul transformed so that our soul can be the reflecting organ. Our soul can express God. In Luke 1, verses 46 and 47, it says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has exulted in God my Savior." In our spirit, with our spirit, we enjoy the Lord. We can exalt in the Lord. But then it is with our soul that we magnify the Lord to others. We can express Him. So, brothers and sisters, thank the Lord for all the functions of our inward and hidden parts. We have our heart as the loving organ, we have our spirit as the receiving organ, and we have our soul as the reflecting organ. If you want to get into these matters more, I highly recommend the book, The Economy of God, especially chapters 6 and 7. And much of our fellowship that we are giving you in this series is from this book, The Economy of God. So I would encourage all of you to get into this publication directly. But saints, thank the Lord for our inward and hidden parts. May we know them and know how to exercise them and know their functions so that we can be in the reality of God's economy. Oh Lord Jesus, we love you. Oh, strengthen us to exercise our heart to love you, to have our spirit receiving you, and that we have our soul to reflect you. Lord Jesus, we love you. Oh, Lord Jesus, make your home in our hearts a little bit more today. For AgeTurners.com, this is Ricky Acosta.